think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Pakistan, a nation bedeviled by natural catastrophes and man-made catastrophes these last years. I'm thinking of the flood, the famine, and the attacks by the Taliban in Pakistan against the frontier. Now a mass murder of a party sympathetic to the Taliban, the mass murder said to have been launched by ISIS. All of this turmoil and elections. I welcome Arif Rafiq of Globally News to help me understand the governance of Pakistan in this vulnerable time and what happens next. The Sharif government has announced that it will step down or step aside to a new election process, but that in itself requires explanation. The National Assembly meets for a few more weeks, and then after that, there's a time period in which there will be a caretaker government. Why does that matter? Because Arif reports they need money. Arif, a very good evening to you. They need a lot of money. And how can they raise that quickly, presuming there is a caretaker government? Good evening to you.
Hi, John. Thank you for having me on. Well, Pakistan, much like Egypt, is in serious economic distress. They traditionally defer to their Gulf Arab partners for the quick infusion of cash. They've relied on them for decades. Now, the Gulf Arab states are saying, we're not going to play by those rules again. We want skin in the game. We want equity. And so that would requires countries like Pakistan to sell state assets. That's a politically fraught issue. And so what Pakistan is trying to do is empower a caretaker government, which is really just supposed to oversee the electoral process and deal with regular administrative issues. They've empowered it, in fact, to make major economic decisions, and that will likely include the sale of state assets.
And this caretaker government, it's not easy to get there. So let's begin with my understanding is that the prime minister is not the caretaker. The prime minister is standing for continuing his election. His party would choose him. So explain the process from the moment the assembly ends its session. What happens next?
Yeah. So, you know, the lower house of Pakistan's parliament, the National Assembly, elects the prime minister who forms a government. The tenure of the National Assembly is going to end in just about 2 weeks, and the same goes for the government. So in Pakistan, the a caretaker government is selected by the government as well as the opposition based on consensus to oversee the electoral process. And so that is generally for up to 3 months. And so that's the idea there. So to have a neutral entity to oversee the political process, the electoral process, and ensure that there are free, fair, and credible and legitimate elections.
And in that choice, we now have the controversy. You report that the government has advanced the finance minister's name, Ishaq Dar, but the army opposes or doesn't endorse, either one is possible, Dar. What is the army's thinking? What is the government's thinking?
Yeah, so an element within the party that leads the ruling coalition has proposed the finance minister, who's a relative of the people that rule Pakistan, of the party that rules Pakistan. He's a relative of the head of that party. And they proposed him to serve as the caretaker prime minister. That is in total contradiction with what the constitutional envisions the role to be: neutral, nonpartisan, impartial. And I think that reflects the the reality that the next caretaker government will not, fulfill those characteristics. And so the army wants someone who is seen as someone who's like an economic czar to serve as caretaker prime minister. And I think what that points toward is the uncertainty as to how long this caretaker government will rule and what exactly its job will be. And so there have been suggestions that its tenure should be extended for another 6 months. Some have said for 2 years. Some have said even perhaps flippantly for 10 years. And so what's unclear is not just when this caretaker government will come to power, how long it will be in place, but when the elections will take place and if they will take place.
Now the United States enters and other voices saying that they are very unhappy with the idea of extending the postponing the elections by 6 months. What is the thinking of the army? Does it suit them to postpone the election?
Yeah, it does suit the army, and it even suits the current coalition government because they're all unpopular. So the army is facing unprecedented criticism. The same goes for the coalition government because inflation has been sky high for well over a year. It nearly hit 40% earlier this year and will remain in the 20% range into next year. So for the current coalition government, it's not advantageous to go to elections immediately. For the army, the army and the coalition government is actually fearful that the former prime minister, Imran Khan, could do well in the upcoming polls. And this is despite the fact that the army has really gone in overdrive to dismantle his political party. And so his own popularity and the unpopularity of the status quo, those who rule Pakistan today, could result in Khan doing quite well in the elections. And so what Pakistan's rulers are trying to do is create a scenario where Khan is sidelined through some legal procedure, perhaps banning his political party, and that the tables are tilted in a very extreme fashion to ensure that the status quo, that the coalition that rules Pakistan today, that the major elements there dominate the next government.
I oversimplify, but help me. Khan has been a voice of protest ever since he lost his seat as prime minister. He's been arrested. He's been challenged. He's been house arrested. He survives. I believe there was an assassination attempt on him in murky circumstances. Khan looks to be the driver for all of this upset. What is Khan's position about the elections? Does he want them now? And if he is the new prime minister, does he vouchsafe the selling of strategic assets?
Yeah, he definitely wants elections as soon as possible, and he's been pushing for that last year. He has a lot of confidence in his ability to win in the elections, despite the fact that the army has forced the defection of virtually every major figure in his party since May. So his party is a moth-eaten entity, but his own star power is such that he could drive a party of no names to victory, and that's the fear of the army and the coalition government, and that's what he believes he can do. With respect to the economy, I think he has given guarantees to the IMF that he would kind of play by the rules that they've sort of set, and I think he would allow for the privatization of state-owned enterprises. That's something he tried to do himself when he was prime minister, and I think he would likely do that in some shape or form if he returns to power.
Let's go to Washington again. Washington objects to the idea of postponing the elections even for 6 months. Does Washington have an opinion of Khan?
Yeah, Washington has an opinion on Khan. It did not really have a good relationship with the Biden administration, and he, in fact, accused it of orchestrating his downfall, his ouster from power last year. So he really doesn't have friends in Washington, but he does have a lot of friends in the Pakistani American diaspora, which is lobbying for the Biden administration to do something about the rollback of the democratic process, the attacks on Khan, his political party, and the attempts to subvert the democratic process and basic human rights in the country. So Washington is being pulled back into the mix, despite the fact that the Biden administration doesn't want to get involved in Pakistani politics. And at the same time, you know, Pakistan has been providing support. The army has been providing support to Ukraine, covert support. And so while the Biden administration, at least publicly, is now signaling that it wants the democratic process to continue, the Pakistan army is hoping that its support for Ukraine could force induce the U.S. as well as the EU to look the other way.
Yes, I'm glad you mentioned that, because the last time we spoke, I was surprised to learn that Pakistan is the source of the critical artillery shells that Ukraine is using at a tremendous rate, so that the U.S. or NATO has been buying 122-millimeter and 155-millimeter artillery shells. And the Army wants that to continue. Is the Army making money on this?
The Army is making money. Maybe some generals are making money. But also they're using this as a way to, you know, inject themselves into this major geopolitical issue. And, you know, your listeners will remember that Pakistan has did this during the War on Terror, and before that did that during the Cold War, to ensure that they were seen as geostrategically useful to the West. And so right now the Pakistan Army, again, is helping the U.S. kill Russians indirectly, as it did during the Cold War with the First Afghanistan War. So the army is benefiting materially, but perhaps also politically and strategically by in this attempt to win hearts and minds of the West again.
Arif Rafiq, it is Globally News reporting on the subcontinent. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.